Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. We hope at Journey Church to do one thing and do it well, and that is to help as many people as possible live in a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so even on this podcast, we hope that this is simply a resource that helps you experience more life with Jesus. Today, I want to specifically talk to those of you who are leading in any capacity, whether you own a company, help lead a company, manage a department, manage a small team of people, or even lead in your home, or even are talking about self-leadership and thinking about self-leadership in your life. I want to just talk to you directly today as we navigate this time of crisis and all that's related to COVID-19. To be as succinct and as clear as possible and to make the most of your time, I simply want to read to you just what I hope will be an encouragement and a leadership shaper to you in this time. Crises have a way of showing up unannounced. They come with a force that breaks our normal rhythms of life in ways that can't be described or even measured. If you're leading in any capacity right now, work or home, or again, even self-leadership, just leading yourself, you're experiencing this reality. We're all experiencing the vast number of ways life has been altered recently. Our current reality, like every crisis, is presenting us with both challenges and new opportunities. And if you're leading anything, from a small team to a large company, from yourself to a family, the question becomes, how do leaders lead in crisis? How do leaders lead in crisis? How do we guide people into the future? How do we positively influence them and invest in their lives? In the earliest days of COVID-19, a very small verse from the Old Testament of the Bible just began to loom large and occupy large amounts of space in my heart and in my mind. It's tucked into the story of King David's journey through his own crisis. David was anointed by God to lead Israel. But until the current king's, Saul's, time was concluded, ideally, Saul's reign would come to an end peacefully and with great dignity. Unfortunately, Saul's time as king ended more like the prolonged breaking down of a car that ended in the car rolling off the edge of a cliff. Saul was insecure, he was paranoid, and that led him to pursuing David all over the land, looking for an opportunity to kill him. David was in crisis. And at one point in his crisis, he was surrounded by supporters of a diverse group of contributors and helpers. There were warriors, there were archers, there were defenders, there were agile people in battle. And these groups, they numbered in the thousands. But in the scriptures, there's a long list of these various groups. And tucked into the middle of that list is the one that is most fascinating to me. It says this: from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. There were 200 of those chiefs. In the midst of all of the warriors, all of the archers, all of the defenders, all of the agile battlers, there were these men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Men and women leading right now in our current crisis, as followers of Jesus, I absolutely believe you are anointed to understand the times and to know what to do. Let me say it to you again. Men and women who are leading in our current crisis, as followers of Jesus, I absolutely believe you are anointed to understand the times and know what to do. As men and women who understand the times and they know what to do, there's a few key practices and postures that I think are really going to help us lead the way we're made to lead. Let me just give you four of them very quickly. Number one, be consistent. Now more than ever as the leader, your presence is often the calming, stabilizing influence people need. You ever known someone that when they walk into the room, they somehow make you feel like everything's going to be okay? In this season, as the leader, you're often the one invited to be that person whose presence calms the room. The room may be virtual instead of physical, but your presence matters. Oftentimes as leaders, we can overestimate our presence in normal times, and we can underestimate our presence in times of crisis. Show up consistently. Craig Rochelle talks about the normal rhythm of team meetings and increasing it in crisis, even if it's for short times, just to check in and see how everybody's doing and give brief updates. He's got a great podcast on leading in crisis, and we'll link to that in the show notes. It's also a really, really helpful resource in this time. But be consistent. Keep showing up. Short bursts, short touch-ins, longer meetings, add to the meeting rhythm, whatever that might look like. Be consistent. Number two, be clear. People always love clarity. We all always love clarity. But in times of crisis, people crave clarity. They're looking for anything that feels like it's clear. Clarity is a gift to the people you lead. No matter how many of them there are, no matter how big the team, no matter how big the company or the organization, people crave clarity in times of crisis. Part of being clear is knowing what you can be partially clear on and what you can be fully clear on. In our current crisis, we can be partially clear about our future and fully clear about our foundations and how we're going to approach the future. One of the most common questions being asked right now, right, is when will we be able to physically gather again as teams, companies, organizations? We all know that we don't know, but we all want to know. Right? We all know that we don't know, but we all want to know. And when the question emerges, we can give our ideas and still be clear that we don't know. For the sake of clarity, teams just often need to hear the leader process their current thinking, even if it's not finalized thinking. Let me just say that again. So in times of crisis, teams just often need to hear the leader's current thinking, even if it's not finalized thinking. It's actually part of bringing clarity. None of us can control the back to normal date, but we can be clear about our current thoughts and possibilities, however diverse those might be. And we can be fully clear about our foundations. Our core beliefs and values don't move in crisis. Our core beliefs and values don't move during crisis. We still love people. We still respond with the best service possible. We still. You and your organization likely have all sorts of things that you are saying we still about. We still this. We still respond this way. We still engage with people this way. We still provide this kind of service, right? We still. It's these foundational qualities that we can be fully clear about in crisis. Be partially clear about the future, fully clear about our foundational values. Be consistent, be clear, be courageous, be courageous. Courage, of course, and you know this, right, is not the absence of fear, but it's the willingness to both to react to the crisis and then evaluate that reaction. Courage isn't the absence of fear, but it's the willingness to both react to the crisis and then evaluate that reaction. Most of us were forced to react when the crisis hit. To react to not react at all would have meant we were ignorant and irrelevant and we quickly would have been gone. We had to react. But let me explain. Real courage is found in clearly evaluating how we reacted and how the reactions are actually working. Are they helping us survive and live our mission at the same time? Are our reactions true to those values that we want to remain crystal clear about? It's vital that we take time to evaluate how our organization is reacting, because those reactions have enormous long-term implications. Crisis living tries its best to push us out of evaluation mode and into only urgency mode. While in some ways evaluation has never been more important to us, it may need to be faster than ever, but it's as important as ever. So as a church, in the organization where I lead, our reaction was to get online as fast as possible and increase our already online presence. To merely get online was essential to survival. But to begin and keep evaluating the online ministry is essential to fulfilling the mission, to making sure it's actually doing what we're called to do. But here's the thing. It takes courage to stop and evaluate in crisis. because we're likely doing things we've never done, and our first shots at things we've never done can be painful to evaluate. But it's necessary for long-term effectiveness. It's even necessary for the ongoing pivoting we might be doing in crisis. Be consistent, be clear, be courageous, and then be contagious. As a Jesus-following, Spirit-filled leader, you're anointed for this time. As a Jesus-following, Spirit-anointed leader, you are anointed for this time. You do have a Spirit-given ability to understand the times and know what to do for your people and for your company. And as you take steps in consistent, clear, and courageous ways, you will be contagious. You will be contagious. It's part of how you're going to shine as light in a dark time. And that's not surprising. Jesus was the one who said you were the light of the world. And I want to encourage you to simply go into each day knowing that you are indeed the light of the world. In faith, see yourself leading in this strength with Jesus' leadership and the Spirit's anointing. See yourself having soul-shaping conversations and even leading people into personal relationship with Jesus in this time. I believe in you and the work of Jesus in you as a leader in this time. You're a gift to the people you're leading. Men and women who are leading in this time, as Jesus following, Spirit-anointed leaders, you do understand the times and you know what to do. I hope these simple thoughts are encouraging to you as you lead. Thanks for jumping on today to the Journey Church podcast. Hope this resource was helpful to you. I believe in you and your Spirit-anointed leadership in this time.